you'll find the scripture for the message today in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the final chapter of the Gospel of John. Have that passage open to you. It's a really difficult thing for churches these days, since the churches have set up liturgics and what they call the lexicon. You know, we have 40 days of Lent, and we have lots of content from the Gospels for the season of Lent. Then there's the Easter story, and now there are, well, since last Sunday, 40 days of Jesus on earth as the risen Savior. And then after that, 10 days to Pentecost. Now, this 40-day section is sparse in the gospel. So little is said about Jesus, the risen Lord. It's at first a bit of a puzzle. So little is said about something so significant. Read with me. Keep your eyes on the text. You'll see. John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. That's, by the way, only John calls it Tiberias. Everybody else calls it the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. In other words, seven. There were seven of the disciples there. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told him. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. That's how seemingly bleak it had become. 40 days, in that 40-day section, from Easter to the Ascension, they didn't recognize Jesus. They went fishing. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, the author of this book, John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards, less than 100 meters, obviously. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish with you, just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Wouldn't it have been better if he'd just gone to Jerusalem and stood in the house of Caiaphas or where Pontius Pilate was seated? And there said, see, look what happened. Look what you tried to do. But how about if he'd gone to Rome? Wouldn't that have been something? If he'd gone right to the heart of the Roman Empire and said, I'm alive. You tried to kill me, but I'm alive. What does he do? He's on the shore of the little lake of Galilee. They call it a sea, just a little lake, by Canadian standards. And the disciples, they had seen the empty tomb and encountered him before, but what kind of fog were they in? And then, they got to make a living, because I'm going fishing. They weren't all even all together. I'm going fishing, he said, and six others said, we'll join you. We'll go with you. You know, the church gets its life from the life of Jesus. That's how we segment off all the season. And there's four Sundays in Advent, then you have Christmas, then you have Epiphany, and then you have some ordinary time, and then you get the season of Lent. That's 7 weeks, and then you get that's one of the complaints of pastors is we don't have very much scriptural stuff for those next 40 days from Easter to Ascension. There's so few stories. Like, why wouldn't there be a bigger deal made in the world? Why is it so ordinary? Is it just our minds? We're people of data and information. We have our little screens before us which get us to all the information there is in the world that's digital. We want data, we want explanation, we want reasonable stuff, we want control, we want to understand, we want knowledge. Give me some information, then I will know. What you get with the gospel is something different, isn't it? Our ordinary times are, we want to know, and why aren't you having told us more, and what's wrong with this passage, what's wrong with this text? Well, let's at least look at the story and say this. Peter is being Peter, you know. He continues to be Peter. That is to say, he's the one, the first one, the one with the pizzazz to go and do what others were not doing. So these guys were on their not huge fishing vessel, but they were essentially naked, and he when he saw it was Jesus, he put some clothes. That's kind of a dumb thing to do, put clothes on and then jump in the water. Maybe, you know, that's what he did. These are ordinary things they're telling you. When he saw that it was, it is Jesus. Ah, he put on his robe and he jumped in the water. It was about 100 meters shallow. Not so dangerous. Not much swimming there. But it was very strange. This guy on the shore who said, "Throw your net on the other side." And when they hauled the boat up and the fish and then. The net there as well. There was a little fire with fish on it already and bread. See, the gospel isn't to tell you all the details. The gospel, especially the gospel of John, is some sort of artistry, some Holy Spirit given artistry. You know how the gospel of John begins? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on, John says in this gospel that there's this body of Christ, and you get to eat it. And then you and Jesus said, you eat me, he says. The gospel of John is sort of a spiritual artistry. Not to give you all the details, all the full understanding so that you can control it with information and data and process it and manipulate it. It's to give you a deep, deep story in your heart to live by. So they come to shore, having already seen that something is weird here. They fished all night and got nothing. And then Jesus stands, says, throw the net on the other side. They knew something was up. They knew something was up. So, yeah, it isn't spectacular. He didn't stand on the forum in Rome and pronounce, "I am resurrected." He did what he did before, ordinarily. He took control of the creation and caused a big catch of fish to his little band of followers, just seven of them. And it's so ordinary. It's so, so ordinary. You brought your daughter to church this morning. You come to church often, and that's your faithful folk. It's so ordinary. And now you're going to bring her into the ordinariness of church going. It's so ordinary, isn't it? Our Christian lives, are they ordinary? Think deeply about this. Now, here's this little fire that Jesus made. And remember, John's one of the gospel writers who details what happened around the fire at Caiaphas, the high priest, the high priest's yard in the middle of the night when they were drumming up charges against Jesus. And the disciples all sat around and denied him. They were warming their hands by the fire, and they reminded him, you were with that guy. We know. You speak like him. And they said, hell no. We don't know him. We're just curious. And so now there's another fire. And this time, it has their breakfast on it. Where did he get the fish? There was already fish on it. And then he says, bring some of the fish you've caught. And so Simon Peter, he didn't help before, he got out. But he went back. Peter went back, same Peter. And he dragged the net ashore. And they counted the fish. They're fishermen. That's what you do. You count. That's your work. You got to know the numbers. And you 153 fish. So many yet the net wasn't torn. Now, some people have gone to all kinds of lengths to try to say something about those numbers and the meanings and so on. You know, they, like the varieties of nationalities and ethnic, none of it is rings very strong or very true. It stops being ordinary. It's what the point of John 20, it stops being ordinary. And in the face of the Jesus who already had his own fish somehow, and the big catch of fish that he helped him to catch and make possible, there's this little fire, and he says, come and have breakfast. Did you have breakfast this morning? Was it rushed? Did you sit? You know, it's so ordinary. You had breakfast before you went to church, and maybe you didn't have much breakfast, and you're looking forward to lunch or dinner time. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, and you pray before you eat because you know that food ultimately comes from God. Or maybe we're thinking about this little communion table where we lit the candle. And this Jesus is always nourishing us. And how long has it been since the big catch of fish? Maybe 2,000 years. And isn't that something, that little jubilee is in church this morning? Tell me that this is not so crucial, that this is just, it's, that it's just as simple, that it's not so, there's just nothing out of the ordinary. It's awesome that she's in church this morning with you. That we are believers in Jesus Christ, brought here today, all this time, since that little breakfast on the beach. Tell me the resurrection didn't make much headway in the world. It did. There is a people of God in the world numbering in the billions. Now, I know it's fickle and it's thin and people don't believe well and they don't serve well. And it always depends on grace. It's never, look how well we did this. It's always, come and I will feed you. That's what it always is. It will never stop being that until Christ returns and we all stop this broken mess we make for the world. But believe me, this is not ordinary, this Jesus on the beach who gives nourishment to his disciples. That's his intent. And see, what you've got to do with the Gospels is not so much try to get all the details right, because you don't. If you read four Gospels, you're going to get four different views of how things happen. That's just how memory works. That was the nature of how they recorded things and were inspired. And so the stories don't always click so easily. But here's what you need to know. Gospel of John is about the beauty of the deepest truth of all. That you are in Jesus Christ, and he is in you, and he will feed you. It is the Lord, says Peter. And you can be in this church this morning, despite what you see all around you, even in your own heads and hearts, and you can say, it is the Lord. He has brought us here. You know, it's a little like, I know it starts off ordinary and kind of mild, just Jesus and seven disciples are on the beach and so on. It's a little like, something similar happens. Here's this little Jubilee. She's wonderfully cute and sweet. That's all babies are, but some of them, she stands out. Let's just be truth. But it's simple now, isn't it? She sleeps and eats, and you hold her and you look at her, and you just, don't you look at her a lot? Yeah. You know what's coming? You know? No, you don't. But those of us who've had children, well, you were children. Your parents probably have told you a lot is coming, and it gets very complicated and very, very hard sometimes. Very hard, doesn't it? Painfully hard. A world where there's addiction and hate and violence and sexism and racism and economic crushing, and it gets so hard. But that doesn't matter now. Look at her. She's wonderful. And so that's what this story is. John 20 is that story. Look how it begins. It's just sweet. It's just Jesus saying, come have breakfast. You can bring your fish, all the ones I helped you catch, but I already have fish for you. I don't depend on your fish. And then it says, fish and bread. And John makes such a big deal of bread. There's a whole chapter on he is the bread of life. Your ancestors had manna in the ancient old covenant days. They had manna, but I feed you. I will feed the world. I am the bread of life. And so in this little simple, the beginnings are simple. Fish and bread. The beauty of the gospel, don't miss it when you read it. Don't try to get all the answers, trying to put it all together logically. It's beyond that. It's about the wonder and the joy and the hope. And 2,000 years to come. The book of Acts will get you deeper into what happened after this beach incident. Jesus goes to the heavens on the ascension. And 10 days later, God sends the Holy Spirit. And what happens? The church suffers. The Apostle Paul, in fact, says that you will complete the sufferings of Jesus, you church. That's what he says. And he says to that church, but I am always with you. I am with you till the end of all this age. I am with you. That's what this is about. This is Jesus on the beach in this lovely, lovely story of Peter's foibles, the big, big catch of fish that was amazing because he's Lord of creation. And the fish he'd already provided and the bread to point to him, the nourishing one, always with us. Jubilee will always have Jesus with her. That's the deal. And no matter what happens to her, and oh, I know you two a little bit already, I know you wanted to have strong ambitions, and you wanted to have full-orb life, and we live in a culture that allows us that. My, we are well-off people compared to most people in the world. So you will do your best to give her everything. Best as you can, but you'll mess it up. But you'll still, the point is that, remember, if you can this day, about the beauty of the gospel that begins and ends with Jesus saying, come and eat. And he is the meal, and he's the one who will feed her and you and all of us. I am with you always. Think about it. Little Jubilee baptized in his name, and you and me sitting in this church baptized in his name, you and me with resurrection in the ordinary. And you're going to go back to that ordinary right after. Maybe your minds are already on it and you haven't even listened to a word of this. I understand that. But if you go back like today and tomorrow and all week long, back to the ordinary, where the conflicts are and the troubles are and the burdens are and the worries are and the fears are and where the distractions are and so on, you know, back to that. Can you remember this? That by the strangeness of Jesus rising from the dead, instead of running off to Rome to brag or to take on a kind of power that the world loves, but the kingdom of God is not made of that kind of power, he instead feeds his disciples, his betrayers. He says, come, have breakfast. I will always be with you in your ordinary lives. Amen. So God, we didn't get a gospel story full of chock full of details of how it all happened. What happened? Give us the details. Give us the lowdown. We could Google all the sides and the events of it all. No. What you gave us was this strange story of walking on the beach, inviting us around the fire of redemption, where you feed us with yourself. You are the bread of life. Oh, Jesus, in our ordinary lives, come and be our resurrected Lord. Oh, Jesus, in our ordinary everyday life and stuff, remind us that you are Lord of all and things will be all right, even though they are not now. Remind this family, and all families and all parents and all children, that you are the faithful one, the God who will always be with us no matter what. That is your promise post-Easter. That's what Easter means. You'll always be with them. We'll always be with you no matter what happens. What a great story that is. Help us to see the beauty of it in our lives, to cling to it and to acknowledge it always, every day, in every way, always in our ordinary lives, oh God. May we be reminded that we are with you and you are with us forever. Amen.